We are recording.
All right, we'll call this meeting to order at 10:04 on February 27th. Members of the committee, are there any agenda modifications? Mr. Executive Director, any agenda modifications?
No.
All right, we'll move on to public comment. Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from the October 31st Audit Committee meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. I'll approve of the motion. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Let's oppose, nay. Motion passes unanimously. Move on to audit presentation discussion.
Ms. That would be you, Alice.
Okay. I think I know everyone here mostly. I'm Allison Harrell. I'm the audit partner on the engagement. And I also brought Lee Jenkins, and she was the manager running the engagement. So, we will start with our presentation. I don't want to say it was a rather uneventful audit, but it really was a rather uneventful
like
audit. And that is a good thing. That is a good thing. I would say the biggest event, as you guys know, is the delay from the information from the state of Florida for the retirement system, which is required for the disclosures. So other than that, a very good, clean audit. You will see as on our report of independent auditors that we gave an unmodified opinion. And that is the highest level of assurance that we can give on a set of audited financial statements. That's on page one. There are additional paragraphs here because you are a governmental entity and have to issue required supplementary information, such as the management's discussion and analysis. And that begins on page four. That was prepared by Ron. We do certain procedures over that discussion and analysis to make sure it's consistent with our audit documentation, everything we've obtained during the audit, and also consistent with the financial statements. Page 8 and 9 are your statements of net position, as well as your income statement or statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position. And really, I had a fairly uneventful year as far as that goes as well. Consistent with your income statement of the prior year. Not a whole lot of difference there. You did increase revenues from $696,000 to $713,000, and then also with some correlating increases in expenses from $1,048,000 to $1,065,000. Overall operating loss for the year was $352,000 compared to an operating loss in the prior year of $351,000. Change in net position overall was a loss of $300,000 to ending the year of a net position of $8.1 million. So still a good financial position for the authority as far as your net position goes. You have $8.1 million. Of that $8.1 million, $3.9 of it is in capital assets. So there is another $4.1 that is liquid and available. So no concerns there as far as your financial position goes.
And if I can interject,
in the
financial highlights, it talks about what some of the reasons are for the differences in revenue. And in particular, it's all the leasing activity we had, predominantly the FSU Anthropology lease,
right?
The NWRDC expansion, and then the other big thing was the recovery that we got from Bing. That was pretty huge for us. So,
does this also incorporate some of the loss from Bing as well? Or?
We took the losses in prior years, mainly through bad debt expense. So the bad debt reserve remains because that litigation is still potential that we can go back and collect that. Part of that settlement was that the unsecured claims get the first dollars coming out. After the legal fees, obviously, from any recoveries against the Chinese folks that they sue.
So is there any new information on it? I can tell you that the FSU gave Bing a window of time to try and renegotiate a license on the technology. It never happened, and I think now the point is that it won't happen, so they're going to be clearly technologyless.
Well, my understanding is that, I just got some information on Friday that they are still moving forward with the litigation and potential settlement. There are some things some leverage that they got out of the process. that they think they still think they'll have some recovery capability, mainly because they are, they're demonstrating that they still own a piece of the Chinese company.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, demonstrating that ownership, the other company will have a hard time continuing and actually, you know, making any money. So mm-hmm. I think they're expecting to get bought out of that arrangement. Mm-hmm. I think that's where that's heading. But as all things Bing, we'll never know.
Can you remind me, how long is the FSU Anthropology lease again?
It's a 3-year lease with 2 1-year options.
Got it. And we're just in year one, right?
Yes. So, yeah. And I believe that was an August 1 lease.
Okay. And then the last page of the financial statements, page 10, the statement of cash flows that shows the uses and sources of your cash during the year. Overall decrease in your cash was $72,000 compared to a gain of $82,000 in the prior year. A lot of this is due to when timing of payments are made near year end and accruals and others. Page 11 begins the notes to the financial statements. The notes to the financial statements are fairly consistent with the prior year. We did add some additional disclosures on page 12, and this was for the SPIA investment pool as well as the SBA Prime investment pool, just adding some additional disclosures regarding, since it is a cash equivalent, it doesn't necessarily have to have a lot of the investment disclosures, but adding some of the is weighted duration, length, and the liquidity rules, and where other information is available if anybody would like to obtain information, because both of those entities have their own separate audits performed. So we did add some information there for additional value disclosures on those two items. Other than that,
I think we also have one change that's pending. That final draft having to do with the restrictions on the SPIA account.
Mm-hmm.
I think we discussed that language change. We're just going to bring that up here. Basically, if you recall, the SPIA changed their contract a couple of years ago, and they added some restrictions on withdrawals subject to, I think, a 60%. Yeah, keep a 60% minimum balance of your prior 3 months average balances or something to that effect. And so we were going to include that disclosure in that footnote as well. So.
Other than that addition, note one is consistent with the prior year, updated for some current year information. Note two, the ground lease, consistent with the prior year information. And then page 15 begins everyone's favorite footnote disclosure, which is the retirement plan that continues on for a good 6 pages.
It is now my favorite since I got to do it this year.
Hey, Ron, real quick, on page 13, where we have the doubtful accounts that are out there, the only thing we're taking into consideration is the Bing possibility that's out there. What consists of that?
The majority of that is Bing.
Okay.
But there's about, let's say, 13,000.
Yeah.
That is related to BUC Technologies. It's legal fees that we were unable to collect from them when we won the lawsuit against BUC. It's hanging out there. We've got liens filed on them, but the likelihood of collection is slim. So we're just monitoring to see if we need to go back. And I suppose at some point we basically write that off against the receivable and just reduce the receivable balance. But
correct.
Right now it's there to remind me to go look at things every once in a while.
What's the time? Like, when would that decision be made? I guess if we were just gonna write it off versus...
I think we could do it at any time.
You could.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are they still in business?
Yes, as far as I know, they're still. We check their websites periodically. And we did actually, in the past year, we did go look at... they had inadvertently sent a check to us, one of their customers. And so we kind of looked around to see what we could go get, if anything, if there were any contracts outstanding with any of the school systems that they work with, and see if we could go attach anything related to those contracts. But they're all kind of one-off deals, so it's hard to catch those in time to actually attach them. So
yeah.
So, and they're a struggling early stage company. There's not
right.
They're not likely.
Well, and I'm just wondering, $13,000. I mean, at what point do you just
yeah.
You know, this staff time to do even what you're describing outweigh.
And it's I've done it once in a year,
yeah.
So it was
so like
and
yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
And Peggy did it, so. Peggy's the bird dog.
Okay. And again, the retirement note keeps going until page 26. And the liabilities and a lot of the deferred inflows and outflows of resources will continue to increase for the retirement plan as your employees continue to gain time within the Florida retirement system. So unless anybody really wants me to go into detail with
I will add one thing I found out is we do actually have two retirees on our plan, which I didn't know about. But, so yeah.
Just former staff?
Former staff.
Interesting.
Two of them. Mm. Yes.
Not the last executive director, right?
What's that?
I'm just kidding. I'm saying, not the last executive director.
Two or three before you?
The executive. Oh, no, not the previous one.
Right.
One before that and a staff person prior to that. Not the one that. You know, lunch person.
I was like, I think she forfeited hers. Yeah.
I want to make sure.
If I recall correctly,
no.
I think hers
by the
was
way,
forfeited.
You don't know until you ask.
But I do think she's out, so.
Oh, she
oh,
is.
Yeah.
She's back in the community. Everybody watch out for a financial manager.
Well,
she might put you down as a reference, Ron. You might want
to. I never met her.
I had the pleasure. And then, so after the long retirement note, beginning on page 27 are the commitments and contingencies. And a lot of this has been updated for some of the current year information. Can you think of any highlights that you wanted to bring anyone's attention in that note?
In the commitments and contingencies, only that a lot of this stuff will drop off next year. it's you know, most of it's related to the Danfoss deal. And now that the building's been sold back to Danfoss, I mean, we did, you know, obviously the more recent lease amendments are included in there, but we'll consolidate that net a lot going forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and your notes have decreased in length over the years as well, except that we had to add the pension note in.
Yes,
we got it really condensed and then had to add that.
Yeah, and I guess the only other thing I'll bring up is on page 28 on the Sunnyland Solar ground lease. That one. My understanding is that they do not intend to extend that lease when it's up at the end of or the beginning of August of this year.
So they have a 7-year term and 2 7-year options. So my understanding is they do not intend to exercise that option. So we're in the process of trying to figure out how they're going to time this because they also have to remove whatever infrastructure they have on the grounds out there. We do have a personal guarantee from one of the participants on the cost of removal of that, so we want to try to exercise that and make sure we get all that groundwork laid so that it gets taken care of fairly quickly so we make that property available.
How much of that $100,000 is still remaining?
Zero.
Yeah,
we used the balance of it to basically pay for EEP.
Okay.
And they basically, so you're saying that you're going to have that figured out before the end of their lease in August.
We're
right?
going
to start. Because they would have to basically just extend for 7 years or
yeah.
get their stuff
yeah.
away, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I forget off the top of my head what the notification period is, but it's I think it's 60 days or 90 days before the end of the lease term that they have to tell us they intend to extend. There have been informal conversations in which they indicated that they do not intend to extend. So.
Right. But could we negotiate, I mean, I'm getting the weeds here, but negotiate like a, if they wanted to do another year to get it figured out, or is it like you pretty much got to get it done?
I think they know they're
okay.
done. I mean, they haven't done it. They haven't been doing anything out there for some time.
Right.
Look, there are no sausages on the framework, okay? Solar sausages.
Right.
So it's pretty bare out there.
Got it.
Except for the wood and the, you know, electrical infrastructure.
Okay. And then also on beginning on page 28 and then going to page 29 are some disclosures regarding your leases by building. And the length and width at which those leases go through. And then you also see on page 30 where it's in a table, which has your future minimum rentals, and those were for the leases that were in place as of September 30th. And so it goes out to 5 years and $2.6 million over the next 5 years for every lease that was in place as of September 30th.
A couple things I'd like to point out there. On bottom of 28, for the Phipps building, we added a disclosure about the five-year renewal option, in particular noting that the lease payments dropped to that $2,444 a month. We've talked about this, particularly in budget. I think we may have talked to the board as well, that we've got that cliff hanging out there on that lease where they get a pretty sweetheart deal at the end for another 5 years. But basically, we drop $100,000 a year in revenue for 5 years. That's a big deal.
And then the other thing to point out on the table of minimum future rentals, keep in mind that we have some leases that are one-year leases. We have, in the case of SBDC, it's a month-to-month lease. So those are not factored in going forward beyond their lease terms. So that's, and with Keith sitting here at the table, unless Keith knows of anything, if you're not going to continue, we do expect to have additional revenue beyond what you see there.
Can I ask?
Not putting you on a spot. Okay.
As we look at this and we think about the reserves of the park and the upcoming capital needs that we feel we'll have just to do maintenance for roofs and, you know, so forth, how do you analyze that? How do you look at that, or do you?
Well, some of it's a little hard to analyze by what Ron is saying, because you do have some month-to-month leases, so you can't necessarily, they're not factored into this table for the entire 5 years. And now factoring into what you guys need going forward would come in the common area maintenance, and if there's large projects, that would be a board decision to try and see how much would be pushed to the tenants of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will see the authority continues to operate at losses, so you do still have a lot of liquid net position.
Mm-hmm.
So you still have a lot of cash, you're not tied up completely in fixed assets.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a good financial position to be, especially when you take on some of those capital projects. You have $4.1 million. That is liquid.
And there is that $1.4 million reserve, mm-hmm. that's what that is intended for.
Yes.
But in terms of laying out over the next 5 years, these are the major capital needs that we need, that we know we'll have to address, or we may have to address, and then planning for the financials for that.
We did that in the budget committee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you recall that, but we did lay out a capital plan. It's not exactly 5 years because we have a lot going on up front. For example, the restroom renovations in Morgan and Viewpoint were included as part of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're very cognizant of that. And then the other big expenditure is going to be the Collins building, where we're looking at taking $1.6 million to renovate that building. So
mm-hmm.
so it's in there. We are aware of it. We've looked at the roofs, for example. They're metal roofs. They look fine.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings are getting old.
Right.
At some point, it's going to be more about, I think, could be replacement or major renovations,
right.
In which case you're going to have to finance that.
Because they were mostly built circa 1970.
87.
87.
Yeah, that complex was 87, and then Johnson was 93, but pretty much everything in 87.
And you guys, since you paid off the bonds associated with the Centennial building, you don't have any long-term debt, so you have the ability
to bond if you need to.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take a look at your statements of net position, again,
mm-hmm.
it shows a pretty healthy net position of
mm-hmm.
the authority. Your largest liability is with pension, so you don't
mm-hmm.
have a whole lot of long-term liabilities, no
mm-hmm.
bond debt. Notes. So if you did need to take on something like that,
mm-hmm.
you do have the ability to issue bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And the other good news is, if you recall in budget, that we are budgeted to break even this upcoming year
mm-hmm.
on cash basis. I don't know if I've ever covered depreciation, but
who does?
Yeah, exactly. We're hopeful there anyway. We did add a new position, Michael Kutnowski, who's now our director of entrepreneurship, and that even with that, we expect to break even.
Mm-hmm.
and before capital,
before depreciation,
before CapEx. So we are spending some money on building renovations and like $100,000 on restrooms. I mean, it's, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we do have still substantial lease capacity in the buildings, and that's another word for vacancy. So we're currently working on a deal that would lease the balance of the Morgan building for a year. It's a short-term arrangement because somebody has to renovate another building. Mm-hmm. So that would generate about $185,000, I think, in revenue, which would be good even for a year. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to do any kinds of major renovations to the space, and they're just ready to go in. Mm-hmm. We have two prospects for the Collins building that we're excited about. One's to take the entire lab, and the other's to take about 6,000 of the 10,000 square foot end that we were talking about white boxing. Mm-hmm. They're willing to take a lot of that space with not a lot of renovation. Some, they want ceilings and floors and remove some partition walls and things like that. But so with those things, that things are looking pretty favorably as far as cash flow goes in the near term. I still don't like the $500,000 cliff at Phipps Building. That's going to be an interesting one to try to figure out. But thank you whoever negotiated that lease. So the main thing is we've got to make sure that we keep the buildings leased, and which has always been the thing to do. But honestly, I think we also have to start looking at new space, because when you look at everything else that's going on, I know we're wandering off the audit a little bit, but when you look at everything else that's going on in town and with what OEV is working on and trying to, in the Magnetics Task Force and trying to develop some business attraction capabilities, we're going to need some place to put people, and it's going to have to be probably a different kind of space than just office space.
The building at FSU?
The IRCB is not going to be housing private companies necessarily.
Right. But I just mean like bodies. You're going to have bodies out this way.
Yes, and honestly, the more the IRCB does, the more likely we are to have either companies coming to town that want to partner in those IRCB facilities, or spinouts that might happen because of the IRCB. So lots of opportunities there. So we'll look at that, when we talked about the incubator and all those other, little things that we're interested in. So if we develop that, our little northwest corner of the park, I think that's going to be an opportunity to try to plan that, to put all those pieces and parts together up there to fill all those needs. And then we just got to figure out how to pay for it.
So does Talcor, as our property manager, do they maintain some sort of a 10-year outlook on, as these items, as these buildings are, various pieces of them are depreciating, here's the replacement cost, here's that time frame?
They did not in the past. Mm-hmm. That's something I asked them to start doing in the last budget cycle. That was the purpose of that plan, was to look at those things. Mm-hmm. But the major things are HVAC, roof,
right?
And then everything else tends to be more of, okay, you replace it as tenants need it. Mm-hmm. Carpet, paint, ceiling tiles, as you know.
You're singing my song.
I know.
I'm a landlord.
I know you're a landlord, so I know how that works. And typically, we do those either if the lease dictates it, mm-hmm. if it's really bad, we got to do something, or if we have a new tenant coming in, mm-hmm. somehow we're going to be able to pay for it with new lease revenue.
But yeah, I just think it's important for us to be able to have that snapshot so we can say, that HVAC is in its 10th year and it's hanging on,
yes.
but we expect it will need to be replaced in the next 5 years.
And they do have that.
And the roof and the, all
the HVAC in particular, but yes, mm-hmm. the roof have been sort of, we look at them,
sure.
we go, yeah, they're good, they're probably good for another 5 years, and they're metal, and we're not seeing anything. We fix what we have to fix, and we're very diligent, particularly with the roof. We have a monthly contract where somebody comes out and clears them off and checks them, and all that stuff. So, but I hear what you're saying.
I mean, those are the nasty surprises. Yeah. That's like, oh my goodness, this is 10% of revenue for that building for the year.
With my experience as a CFO of a utility, the 5-year capital plan was a big deal.
Yeah.
Trying to maintain infrastructure and all that. Yeah. So and that's why we put that into place with the budget.
Yeah, whether it's lighting in the park or it's the trail or whatever it is, those, I think it's important for the board to be able to see that big picture.
Yeah.
Of these are the upcoming needs. So even if it's, we're going to do a bond issue in 5 years, we're going to need to do a big move here to make sure that we maintain and improve what the park wants to be.
Sure.
So.
The good news is we don't the lighting, the city does.
Yeah.
The bad news is if you've seen the lighting, you can tell.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's the darn signage.
Yeah. On the Collins building, if the spaces you were talking about would be leased, how would that impact the plan for renovations?
That's the challenge I'm working through right now because none of that's engraved in stone yet. And this is something I was going to share with the exec, but we have given one of the prospects a 90-day letter basically saying that we won't try to lease the space because they're doing their due diligence to find out what the renovation costs will be. They're going to hire the folks to figure that out, particularly for the lab because it's the specialized requirements. And once they have those numbers, then we'll negotiate what the terms of that deal will be. And then we'll have to, get board approval and all of that. So once we have that, then we also have the other company, which is working on an M&A deal they've got a term sheet, they're getting ready to sign it. But once they sign, it's going to be wait, go. And if they pull the trigger, then basically I'm going to throw that out the window, the rest of the, well, that's too strong. I'm going to rewrite it in such a way that we'll work on renovating the office areas, figure out what we're going to do with the remaining 4,000 square feet. Do we go ahead and white box or leave it alone and just wait and see if we got another tenant that might want to take that space? Because there's also this company that's going to take the 4,000 or 6,000 square feet is also going to be a rapidly growing company. They're looking at relocating a company from another state. Not a lot of employees, but that's part of the square footage, and they think that segment of their business will grow.
That's part of the 6,000 that they want?
Yeah, part of the 6,000. So they could grow into the other 4,000. I'm trying to get them to shift to the far end of the building, so if the company that's taking the lab grows before they grow, mm-hmm. they can, grow together. We're having trouble trying to, fit the existing space as it is, and that's the higher priority right now because mm-hmm. they need to move fast, so the fewer renovations we have to do, the better. Mm-hmm. So, it's been a moving target trying to get that RFQ done on Collins because when these things come up and basically we can shift cost or we can move, to fit a particular need because that original RFQ did not include any tenants. So to me, the tenants were more important than trying to do the plan that we thought we had. So.
Well, if it potentially allow you to focus completely on the incubator, then.
Yes, or at least get the office renovation done that gets us out of here. We move over there. Michael's going to go ahead and start the programmatic stuff that he can do in development for the incubator. But we'll get all the stuff over there, and then we can start on the plan for this building for the amenity that we're looking at. So a few things going on. A lot of moving parts.
Indeed.
Okay. Well, just a few more items on the financial statements. Your note 6 for capital assets, there wasn't too much capital asset activity this year except for really your depreciation. And so you will see your depreciation at $280,000. So that's $280,000 of your $350,000 loss is depreciation. Then discusses your designated net position, which is the $1.4 million, which is, as Ron stated before, for capital projects and necessary items throughout the park. And then disclosing that the authority has purchased commercial insurance to mitigate a lot of their risks. Reclassification, some amounts are reclassified, namely usually on the income statement between functions. So we just make them consistent to conform to current year presentation so that they are comparative, really minor amounts there. And then related parties noted that the authority had entered into various transactions with a former tenant of which a board member of the authority is a shareholder. So, and that is...
The shareholder that's in litigation.
Bing and Kim Williams.
Yes.
Quick question.
Yes.
The $1.4 million,
yes.
Does that include the money for renovating Collins?
No, we are not. We are not using the 1.6 out of that 1.4.
So. I was like, wait, that doesn't add up.
Yeah, well, that's why we're not doing it. So,
yeah.
So basically,
the 1.44 then?
We leave it for Morgan Johnson Phipps than others if we have to do major renovations there. Those are the, that's sort of like the emergency fund.
Okay. You're saying of the 4.1, 1.4 is reserved
yes.
for those purposes. 1.6 is an additional money
yes.
that is going to be used.
For yes. Well, 1.6 comes out of the 4.1 also.
Right, so exactly. Yeah. Right. But we couldn't, right.
Yeah.
You can't spend more than 1.4 has to stay there.
Yeah, the board would have to tell me that take 1.4 and go get, you know, the other 0.2 that you need out
right.
of other funds. But we still need a reserve fund, so we'll just leave it there.
Okay.
And I'll let me add one more thing to that. We think about that when in the investment committee when we're talking about the liquidity issues and making sure that we some things we'll put in longer term investments like SPIA who have those liquidity restrictions, whereas the Florida Prime does not. So we think of Florida Prime more as making sure that we cover operating expenses. You know, if something were to happen dramatic, we have to go there. We put it in there. Otherwise, the 1.4 would stay in the SPIA because it's a more long term.
Yeah.
Issue.
Totally unrelated to anything, but just randomly, do quasi-governmental agencies like ours, do they ever experiment with, like, enterprise funds? Like, have we ever looked at, like, any way, like, all the ways that those kinds of organizations make money? I mean, obviously, leasing, you know, we went to Sid Martin, sponsorships and things like that, but just other kinds of, like, if there's, in addition, you know, if we're talking about building new facilities, I assume, like you said, in addition to office space, you could be, there are more bodies here because of FSU, and that requires things like coffee shops and, you know, like live, work, play concepts. Is that ever a thing for?
I mean, it can be. I mean, we obviously have the ability to do that, and that's one of the things we're looking at for this building. But my guess is, first of all, we're only good at doing certain things. And trying to get better at certain things like incubation,
right?
And those the revenues we collect, whether it's through sponsorships or other things, will go towards that.
Right.
This building, my guess is that we will probably outsource that, such that we won't have any other revenue probably than lease revenues. We could potentially have a percentage lease or something where we take a percentage, but what we really want to do is get somebody else to pay for providing this amenity. And it'll have to be structured in a way that they're going to make money at it. So it's that balancing act. But I understand what you're saying. If there are other things that we can do, we do. But we're just at a point now with enough staff to go do something.
Right. No,
we have
that makes
to do
sense.
That, so,
yeah, no, it makes sense. I'm just curious to know, you know, enterprise, like how enterprise funds, how have they been used in the past? You know, it could be that.
I mean, we are an enterprise fund.
We're right,
so.
but there are multiple enterprise funds that you can create, right? Like the city has multiple, the county has multiple. It's basically like, how do we make money, more or less, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm interested to know how organizations or quasi-governmental organizations like Innovation Park and other places around the country, how do those folks make money? Is it typically the same model that we're using, or do they lease a star? You know, do they own a Starbucks? They franchise a Starbucks through some sort of legal agreement. Like that's where a lot of their money is coming from. You know, of course, that's.
We'd have to ask our Starbucks expert.
Okay, that's actually just how I handed it over. We're going to bring one here, so if you just make a few calls. We appreciate it.
And really, you guys are not a quasi-government. You are a government.
Yeah, we're a local government.
You are dictated by, and you'll see in note one, the county ordinance that created the authority. So as long as you're within the boundaries of what that ordinance says you can do, you can do it. You're a special district in the state of Florida. So there are other things you can do, but you have to stay within that county ordinance of what they told you you could do.
And really, the county ordinance doesn't tell us a whole lot. Yes. What it says is go see Florida Statute 159 Part 5.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of says, so as long as we're within that public purpose that's mm-hmm. that's stipulated in that section, and it's we've got some latitude in there, but yeah, we can. There's a lot we can do.
There's a lot of gray areas.
I just think of universities too, right? Like you have FAU and FIU and stuff like that. You know, they're like building, you know, strip malls.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm not suggesting, but you know what I mean. Like people are getting real creative, basically, on answering the question of how do we generate revenue.
Yeah.
And so. I'd be interested to see what those create.
And I think that, again, I think the big opportunity for us in the long run is going to be in public-private partnerships and how we get other people to bring money to the table, and then how much do we give up in exchange for that, and how much do we get. But it's really about what we can get done towards our public purpose than necessarily just about generating revenue. But I don't understand what you're saying.
Yes, and that is what where most of the governments are going is this public-private partnerships and you know how they're generating the revenue. So looking at those is probably the future of all governments. Okay. Just a couple more items on the financial statements. Beginning on page 32 is some required schedules for the pension liabilities. You'll see here that the heading says last 10 fiscal years. There's only 4 fiscal years, and that's as long as the standard has been in existence. So as we get to 10 years, once we get to 10, then years will start to drop off. But right now you're only at 4. We're trying to get to 10. Okay. We'll have to switch those into a landscape mode shortly once we get to 10, or you won't be able to read them. They'll be so small.
And I think it's really cool to note the very, very small percentage that we are of the net pension liability of the state.
Yes.
And we'd like to keep it that way.
Right, and how long do we have to wait on the information to report that very, very small percentage?
Yes. And how long does it take to process all that?
Right, so. Right. You realize that this year.
I understand it now.
Yes. Then also on page 36, since this audit was completed in accordance with government auditing standards, we do issue a report on internal control over financial reporting and compliance and other matters. There were no items to be noted here, so no issues noted during the audit. Again, I told you it was a relatively uneventful audit, and that remains the same. Then on page 38, this is a report that is required by the Auditor General's office. And it is actually an additional engagement that we have to do for every governmental audit. And it's an examination engagement that says you're in compliance with the local government investment policies in accordance with Florida statutes. So we issued this examination report. Last year it was issued after the fact. The Auditor General kind of snuck that rule in on a lot of CPAs across the state and then had us issue a bunch of a bunch of reports after the fact. So this year we included it in your financial reporting package. But basically you are in compliance with the Florida statutes and the items that you have. Then again, on page 39, the last item in your financial reporting package is the management letter. This is again a required report by the Auditor General of the state of Florida. And this discusses your financial condition, any prior audit findings, and various other items. We do have to analyze your financial condition as part of the audit. There's no financial emergency, which is required to be reported to the state. No other items of note in that management letter. Really boilerplate language there. Then we also issued a report to the audit committee, since you are charged with governance, and this has our required communications under auditing standards. And again, a very uneventful audit, but we'll
and
go.
I'm sorry to interrupt. That was sent to you as a supplement to the original agenda packet. We got that late after the agenda was issued, so you should have had that separate.
Yes. Again, we conducted our audit in accordance with auditing standards and government auditing standards. That was described to you in an engagement letter dated August 3rd, 2017. We discussed with members of this committee and management our planned scope. There were no adoption or changes in accounting policies this year, no significant or unusual transactions identified. There are judgments and accounting estimates as part of all financial statements. We look at those during our audit process, and there were no unreasonable estimates, and we obtained information from management to support all of those estimates. The estimates significant to the authority are the allocation of certain maintenance expenses and common area maintenance fees, as well as the useful lives used to calculate the depreciation of capital assets, and those are both looked at during our audit process. Audit adjustments are attached as Exhibit A, and most of these audit adjustments are they were provided by Ron to do the pension liability.
Obviously, we don't know what those adjustments are until we're done with the audit, basically. So.
Right. So really, that gives you a good idea that we're not coming in and cleaning up any of the books. So any interim financial statements you're looking at throughout the year are accurate, and we're not having to issue a lot of adjustments during the audit process. So that's a testament to Ron and also the Talcor staff.
To Christy.
The NAI Talcor staff at Christy, and that we're not coming in and doing that. So any interim financial information should be accurate. Uncorrected misstatements, there were no, actually, I'm sorry, there was an uncorrected misstatement. It was just a timing of an item. And I apologize, and I don't have
utilities.
I think it's utilities. It was that there's 12 months of utilities, but because of the timing of when the utility payment, we have to take the last month of the previous year and the first month of this year. And there was a difference this year, but we carry it over from year to year, and usually it'll net to be about the same amount. This year it was a little bit higher, so we included that item. But really, just a timing issue on that you have 12 months worth of utilities, but where the utility payments end up.
Very minor.
Yes. Yes. There are no disagreements with management. We are not aware that management had any consultations with any other accountants or auditors regarding accounting or auditing matters. No significant issues, no significant difficulties. We did go over the letter that if you did have any control deficiencies or items of note, those would have been included in your financial reporting package. There were none. And then Exhibit B to this report will be a management representation letter signed by Ron and Christy as well, stating that they've given us everything we've asked for during the audit and making certain representations about account balances.
I just signed by myself in April.
Oh, I think we've had Christy sign in the past. She signs as well.
Okay.
She provides a lot of the information.
I'm glad she signed.
Yeah. She provides a lot of the information, so she signs as well.
Okay,
but other than that, again, a pretty uneventful audit, which is a good thing. A clean opinion, unmodified opinion, no issues. Working with Ron and Christy, we were able to get through everything quickly except for the retirement system, which is out of our hands. So, which is why we're here in February and not January.
So do you all have any recommendations?
We do not.
No recommendations on that, okay.
We do not.
And then, in the past, the trouble we got into was around internal controls, and I know that we have gone, you know, far over and above to have internal controls in place, but in the audit, it says, accordingly, we do not express an opinion on the effectiveness of the authority's internal control, and I know that you're doing sort of a limited scope audit here, but what would, if we wanted to examine that, what would be the step to do that?
Well, we've done certain engagements, and the reason that it's stated like that is because our auditing standards doesn't allow us to issue an opinion on the effectiveness of internal controls. Now, a governmental audit does go above and beyond a normal financial statement audit in that we do have to take a deeper dive into the internal control structure. Mm-hmm. So we would note where there would be any holes or any items. Some entities that want us to take an even deeper dive into internal controls to see if maybe there are duplicate internal controls and maybe there are processes that could be revisited, and that it's not that your internal control system has deficiencies, but maybe it's not the most efficient way to do
right.
things. We have performed engagements called internal control risk assessment, and it's usually a consulting engagement where we issue a letter saying it's a more efficient way to do this process this way, or you have duplicate controls in this process. And, you know, at first when you did, after you had the issue, the authority did and then implemented outsourcing accounting, there were a lot of duplicate controls, but I think those have also come down. As you know, the processes have been more streamlined with NAI Talcor. So I don't think that you really have that issue anymore with the duplicate controls, because at first there was a lot of structure put in after that incident. But that is an engagement we can do. I'm not sure if it's completely necessary because
right.
of how you do have a governmental audit as well.
I just wanted to have that on the record more than anything else.
After we mentioned you signed that letter.
As the treasurer. Yes.
There you go.
The one thing I want to point out is, in the work that was done, you know, after the bad days, and segregating the authority, responsibility, and the accounting at Talcor, mm-hmm. You did a lot of segregation of duties. And then,
right.
And then the advantage of having me here, mm-hmm. Now if you had a different director who wasn't previously a CPA, mm-hmm. And I have to qualify and say previously a CPA, then in Florida, I don't have to in Indiana. But, you know, I basically, I don't have any access to assets, even though I sign checks, she controls all the checks.
Right.
Okay? For me to basically to get anything mm-hmm. is virtually impossible.
Yeah.
Okay? And then for her to do anything, there are controls in place that basically I review effectively 100% of the transactions. Mm-hmm. You know, my check signing basically says, now, there are some certain steps that would have to be taken to make sure that, you know, she's controlling check stock and, you know, she can't sign checks or, you know, there's no signature stamp or right. how we look at bank statements, which is kind of how we got in trouble before, I think, was there just wasn't adequate segregation of,
right.
of the bank statements. Well, she gets a bank statement, but I also get one mailed directly to me, mm-hmm. so which I review. And so
yeah.
I'm not saying that it isn't possible that we've missed something.
Right.
I doubt it. I mean, I haven't seen any examples of anything I think, you know, is a real weakness.
Yeah.
No,
so I totally agree.
The risk, I just think the risk.
We have a very low risk, but given risk. That that's stated that way in the audit,
okay.
You know, I just think it's good to keep reminding. Yes. There's the process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to reassure everyone.
Yeah.
That's,
Our response is good. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Any other discussion points or questions on the presentation or the financial statements? Seeing none, we need to make a recommendation to the full board to approve the drafted audited financial statements. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Any new business? All right.
That's all.
Well, thank you so much for your work, for that very thorough presentation. We like uneventful reports like that, so hopefully we'll have many more to come.
I do too.
Indeed, indeed. All right, thank you all. With that, we're adjourned.
Thanks, Christy. Good job.